personalized letters here just for everybody out there in Packerland and yourself today. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're gonna be okay. Just a new and increased love of life, and I've made decisions and changes and habits that put me in a lot better headspace.
What is up, everybody? Good evening and welcome to the second episode of Packers After Dark. For those who don't know, my name is Tyler. I do all the memeing, all the tweeting, all the fun stuff, if you will, for Cheesehead TV. And this is the show where we give Packer fans an in-depth look at everything going on around the team. So much great content going on that talks about what's going on with the team, but you got enough of that through the day. Let's wind it down here, unwind, if you will, here at nighttime and just talk about what's going on around the team. But with me this evening is the man, the myth, the legend, somebody who apparently is never, he just never is not live streaming. I don't know how this guy, I don't think he sleeps. I don't think there's any sleep going on. I don't know what's going on. Tom Grossi, my man, how you doing this evening?
Tyler, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the lo-fi beats to bring me in. We are straight up, like we were talking about before the show,
it's like NPR, right? You got to keep it real chill, real relaxed.
Gotta get real close to the microphone and
really close to the microphone. Just bring it down. Bring it down for the evening.
Get into a module that is self-centered and also enlightened.
Of course. Yes. Everyone wants to know, Tommy. First of all, how you doing today, man? You were doing like four or five streams today, right? Six, seven, maybe eight.
We streamed every day this week. And before this, I was doing an hour, a 100-minute Q&A before this. But before that, we were doing a video too. But that was also before that, we were teaching full time until 2 o'clock. So yeah.
Oh my God, dude! I'm telling you, man. Every time I look up, you've got another stream going. Like what?
That's 100% accurate. 100% accurate. Yes.
How did you even get into it? Well, first of all, I was doing a little research on you before this show. Right? You can't come unprepared. You can't show up like the Packers showed up in, never mind. You can't come unprepared.
Nope.
You can't come unprepared, okay? Yeah. And I was doing a little research, and I went to your YouTube page, and I hit, you know, where you can sort the videos. I sorted them.
My oldest.
I'm oldest, okay? Yeah. And the first thing I see is you filming someone's death. Is that what that was? Or was it? I'm kidding. You were filming.
I thought I unlisted that video. That was you weren't supposed to see that one. That was no. That's just my uncle.
Dude, I'm watching it and you're doing a stand-up comedy routine, which is great. Obviously, that. Where did you get your name? So you used to do stand-up comedy. Is that correct?
Where I got my name. My mom and dad produced me, and
your username.
the Tom Grossi one.
Tom Grossi comedy. How did you get that, man? You were doing.
Yeah. That's actually a really easy story. There's some a-hole out there named Tom Grossi, and he's like some financial dude, and he like got TomGrossi.com. He got like Tom Grossi on Twitter. Like he basically bought up all the Tom Grossis. And so I was like, well, this is unfortunate. Like he is never going to do anything with his life, and I am planning on being mediocre in my life. So I was planning on just using that, but I was like, fine, I guess I'll throw comedy at the end, which never really made sense considering, you know, no one's laughed.
So it wasn't premeditated at all. It's just because some jerk, some finance bro was out there just taking all of your usernames and everything.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, so like usually a lot of comics, like a lot of stand-up comics in New York, like they throw like comedy at the end of it. Like a lot of the times, like when they get their first open mic, they'll like go and make a Facebook page and be like, I'm a comedian now. and they had to pay to like do stand-up comedy. So
yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? I guess I'll put comedy at the end of it. And then I just never changed it.
That's great. But you're back to your first video. You were doing a stand-up routine, right? Yeah, or was right. I on the wrong person's YouTube channel?
It could have been. Yeah. I can't remember exactly which one. Was it the one where the spotlight falls on somebody?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was joking about, where somebody died. It looked, yeah. I mean, looked so, kind of scary.
It did hit somebody. It legit. So that was in Croton on Hudson in New York. Okay. There was this barbecue place, which is no longer open due to my comedy night, but it, it was called Memphis Maze. And I knew the owner really well, 'cause I used to go there during lunch and get drunk every single day. So like we knew each other really well. And he was like, oh, like, you want to do a comedy night here? And I was like, sure. And we did like a bunch of them, and they were actually like really popular. But the way that it was done is like someone bought like one of those like mini spotlights, and they climbed like on a booth and like hung it like from the rafters. And it literally, one night I'm hosting and it falls and it hits somebody like on the shoulder, and without missing a beat, I'm just like, well, that's bad, right? Like, because again, like at some point you just have to like keep the show going on, and thankfully they didn't get hurt. I think we gave them like waffle fries as a compensation, and that held them over from us being sued. So
that's crazy, man. So yeah. I guess, okay, first of all, it's kind of scary, right? Because you're just standing up, just like trying to, you know, host a show or do whatever you were doing. But did you have a stand-up comedy routine that night? Like, were you a comic in a previous life? Are you a comic now? Like, you know what I mean? What do you consider yourself that, I guess, formal? On your LinkedIn profile, does it say comic?
I think now it just says history teacher. Yeah, so like I didn't even start with stand-up comedy. When I was in college, my sophomore year, I joined an improv troupe, TBA improv, and I like really gravitated towards it. And this was after like my childhood. I essentially like made a lot of like home movies and videos and all that great stuff. And then I got into improv when I was in college, like rose to be like the president of the group. And then when I got out of college, like I started an office job and was just like miserable at it. And I couldn't do improv because like I needed to like get a whole bunch of other people and like coordinating schedules and stuff. And so I decided to like, you know, take a shot at stand up. And like I was decently good at it. Recorded a comedy album. I was number one on Amazon for a little bit. So that was cool.
Hey.
Yeah. So it's allergic to fun. Yeah, but I mean, like recently I did a stand-up thing in October, but because of COVID and stuff, we really haven't gotten into it. And plus, like, I really don't have free time anymore because like I just sunk it all into the channel. But I mean, like there'll be some stand-up stuff again in the future, because like it's a fun outlet. It's something different. You know, I enjoy it. It's a good time.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people obviously, you know, especially in the Packers world, like they know you for your Packers content and stuff like that. But I just thought it was interesting, you know, sorting your videos and seeing you do some jokes in front of a crowd. I was like, oh, something interesting here. I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. But now getting into the channel, right? It seems like right after that video, you kind of just dove right into Packers content. First of all, this is an obvious question, but I mean, how did you become a Packers fan? Because are you from Wisconsin? Do you have, you know, Midwestern family? Like, where are you living at right now? And where, how did that work out?
Yeah. So basically how it swung was, so my dad, and it's funny, 'cause like all my mods who are in the chat right now are like, we know this story. So my dad, 'cause I get asked this on every live stream, like for the past like 3 years.
You gotta get it out of the way early. That's
exactly. I appreciate it. So like my dad is a diehard Cowboys fan, like diehard. And like, we're from New York. But he was a huge bandwagon fan. So he was a diehard Cowboys fan. And he actually even gave me my like middle name, Daniel. Like, so it'd be like TD, because he thought he was being clever. And I was like, so what wound up happening is he tried to raise me as a Cowboys fan. And I was in elementary school. And this was the year that we went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Broncos. So Super Bowl 32. So it was like 96, 97 season. And I went into school, so I was like 6 or 7 years old, which I think is like first or second grade. And I heard that the Packers beat the Cowboys. Like, I wasn't even really watching football at that point. But then out of spite, I was like, ooh, I like the Packers. So I went home and I told my dad, I was like, ha ha, Cowboys suck, huh? Like, Packers won. And I was just a fan ever since. And literally just like rocked with that from like 97 to 2021 and just never got off the train.
That's phenomenal. So pure spite. Started just pure spite of your father and his team there. That's really funny actually. Yeah. But there's a backstory there, I'm sure.
100%. 100%. We actually went to the 2014 playoff game, the Des No catch game together.
Yes. I was at that game as well. That's great.
Yeah. I have the towel over there. Yeah, it was a great time. He went home very unhappy. It was wonderful. And then
you were happy. He was not.
Exactly.
So you go from, you know, obviously being a Packers fan growing up as a kid now and all this kind of stuff. Like, did you ever think you're like, oh, I'm going to start a YouTube channel or I'm going to start, you know, doing stuff about the Packers? Like at any point, like, I mean, even after YouTube had started, I mean, what were you doing? Nothing.
No.
What was your day job?
If there is anything, I mean, like growing up, like I said, like I did a lot of like movies and stuff. So like, it's not really out there. Like I have all the digital copies, but like me and a buddy of mine, like we remade Lord of the Rings and like James Bond and like a Harry Potter, Pirates of the Caribbean, where like I wore eyeliner to be like Jack Sparrow and stuff. True story.
That's awesome.
It's out there. Maybe they'll get released.
Was
one day.
Was this part of your improv group?
No, this was just me as just like you. A teenager. Like this was me like growing up in a town where there was nothing to do except heroin and or hang out at the gas station, and I didn't want to do either of those things. So it was really like all
comedy
right,
videos.
I guess I'm gonna make videos. And like no one ever saw them, right? Like we like showed them to like my family and stuff, and like that was it. Like we didn't do anything else with it. But for YouTube, I mean, if there was anything that I was gonna do, like it was a potentially like acting thing. But it really just, when I went to college, it was improv, but even when, I don't know if you're familiar with like UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade, like that's where like SNL pulls all like their people from.
Oh,
so
nice.
We did some training with them in college. And when I was getting out of college, the leader of UCB called me and he like called my cell because he had my number from the training. And, he was just like, hey, like, you know, we know you're graduating. We think you're really good. Like, would you want to come and like join us full time? And at that point, I was a naive 20-year-old and was like, no, I'm going to get me a teaching job right out of school. I didn't. And so I told them no. And so like I could have been on SNL, but I'm not. And after that, it kind of just turned into I tried like my hand at stand up. But the thing that really was the catalyst for me starting the channel was the 2014, 2015, but NFC Championship game against the Seahawks. That was like my first real Packers video, which was a reaction video of like me watching them lose and going through all of the motions of like watching like heartbreaking thing after heartbreaking thing. And it was like therapeutic and I didn't think it'd go anywhere because like I didn't really make YouTube videos. And it went viral, I guess. It got like 60,000 views or something. So I thought I was like the most amazing person ever. But I got like a bunch of like Packers fans who reached out to me and were like, oh my God, like, thank you. This helped me because it was a traumatizing thing.
Of course.
And they were like, you know, like, would you do more stuff? And it was at that point that later that August, I started the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, so you kind of like, obviously just this one video, but it was just a continuation of things you had already been doing. So it wasn't like you were thinking, I'm going to build this, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, dude, that's crazy. So you finally get this video out there. And like, how long after that video got put out and started doing numbers that you were like, okay, this might be something that I can do. Was it solely because your hashtag Rossi Posse was asking, you know, at the time didn't know them by that, but your hashtag Rossi Posse was asking you to do more video, more content or something like that?
Yeah,
or was
I mean, like it was kind of just like, I was blown away by like the numbers and I was like, I didn't think I would ever get those kind of numbers ever. So, it was a matter of like, I put it out there and then like, I had the idea to do a podcast. Now, granted, I had no experience doing a podcast. I had no experience doing anything. So I was like, all right, I'll do a podcast. And it wasn't even going to be on YouTube either. Like I literally, like I saw those views and something in my mind was like, no, let's forget that. Let's put this on SoundCloud. Like that's where everyone's going to listen to it. So, for the first like 2 years, the vast majority of the podcast was like pure audio and I wanted to do something different. So I literally just brought a fan on, of the opposing team every single week. And we only did episodes 2 times a week. It was Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thursdays were like the fan interviews. Tuesdays were like the recap. And like nobody watched, like nobody listened to it. I still vividly remember the first podcast that I got over 100 views was the Rams episode from like, I think it was like 2015. And I remember being like ecstatic because I was like, oh my God, 100 people listened to me talk. And like, it was terrible, right? Like, I want to stress this enough. Like, it was awful. My audio was crap. Like, everything was terrible. My intro was like 2 minutes long. It was not good.
Were you using, you had any equipment at that point? Any microphones, anything?
I had a Shure microphone. I was able to purchase a Shure microphone. So it was like $1.50 or something like that. And I was doing it off of my laptop. And the best part about it, when it was MP3s, I was fine. But once I started converting into videos, the amount of render time, it took 3 times whatever the amount of length of video it was. So if I did a 45-minute interview, like you're looking at like about 2 hours of just render time. Yeah. So like it, and that was for a long time because like, right. I never thought again, like at any point that it was like, oh, I'm going to be a YouTuber or anything like that. It was essentially just a passion project that didn't take very long. I enjoyed doing it. Not a lot of people listened. And I was like, cool, let's just do this. And if 100 people listen, it's a good day.
Yeah. What was the point at which you had, you know, you were doing this podcast and stuff like that and you had brought it over to video eventually. What was the point that, you know, you were like, okay, well maybe I could branch out and start doing some other content and stuff like that. Maybe go back to the format of like reaction videos or whatever.
So 2015, like it was all audio. And I think I put like 2 episodes on YouTube, which were still full audio. And I just had like a picture in the background or something. I think it was like best of the season. I was like, people vote. Right. Nobody voted. Nobody voted. So I think in 2016, I started like putting out, I think like every now and then. And then 2017 was like, I started doing like weekly stuff on YouTube. That's when like the hair was terrible, like quality, everything was terrible. But then I started doing that. And I would say like the turning point was kind of 2018. So it was kind of like 3 years into it where like I started experimenting with like other stuff. And like I started doing a little bit more reaction videos, not as much as I do now, but like I started doing a little bit more. And like, that's when things started to pick up a little bit, still not to the point of like, oh man, I'm going to be full time with this. Never thought that. But that was, I would say like 2018 was kind of a huge turning point for the channel in terms of not even views, just like I started doing different things.
Yeah. So you're finding yourself where you're getting more play on these types of things and you're just looking to expand a little bit, I guess you can, yeah. You know, on top of that. But I mean, how do you go into, you know, just deciding that you're going to make these videos, you know, as frequently as you do now? Cause you mentioned a few times, you know, just in the past couple answers that you gave, like you decided like, oh, I'm, you know, I was doing this on a set schedule from the beginning. Like your podcast was on this day and that day.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people think about it differently, right? A lot of people are trying to do it more, you know, sporadically or as it goes, sure. Or maybe once a week or stuff like that. Like, have you always been an organized person in the sense that you've got to do a set schedule like that?
Well, you know, it started out with Tuesday and Thursday because it just made sense because like Tuesday was easy because like if we played Monday Night Football, I could talk about it the next day. Literally, that was the only rationale. And then Thursday, if we played Thursday Night Football, I could talk about it that day and I was done. Like that was the only logic behind it. The real like real game changer was August of 2019. And at that point, like we like it still wasn't like crazy numbers, but like we were growing. But in August of 2019, like I took a little bit of time off during the summer because like it was off season. There's not much stuff going on. But August of 2019, I was like, I'm going to do this 5 days a week. And I have done at least 5 days a week since August of 2019.
It's incredible. So, like,
without missing a day. There's always been some type of content, whether it's a stream, whether it's a video, and it's usually more than just 5 times. Like usually it's like 2 videos a day or it's the weekends, you know, during football season. We're streaming.
Was that on your own volition? I guess this is the heart of the question that I'm trying to get to. Was that on your own volition or was that something that you like watched a YouTube video and some content creator guru said, hey, if you upload consistently, this is the way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that was full blown me. Like I looked at it. And so like, cause 2018, what made 2018 special was that was Sunday Night Football, with NBC. And like, we'll circle back to that. But, you know, at that point, like the 2018 heading into the 2019 season, I was like, huh, okay, things could get like serious maybe. And then in 2019, like, you know, in August, I was like, you know what, let me give it a shot. Now, granted, like I was still working full time as a teacher, so like that was still going on. So like from August of 2019 to now, like I have, there's never been a point where I haven't been working two full time jobs. The one has been the channel, and then the other has been like teaching. So yeah, no, that was totally on my own volition of just like, if I put out more stuff, more people watch, the numbers go up, and I go, we, you know, and that was kind of just the decision. I mean, like people don't realize that, you know, you don't make a lot of money from YouTube in terms of like ad revenue, unless you're pulling like monster numbers. And I was not pulling monster numbers. So like I was not, I think the first time I made money on YouTube was like, I want to say it was like 3 years in. I think it was like the 2018 season. I made like a, maybe like $3,000 to $5,000 for the year. And like the amount of stuff I did. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, but the amount of time and hours that I put into it, it was way below a minimum wage job. But I think it was just a matter, it was an outlet, and it was just something that I really enjoyed doing. So I was like, you know what, screw it. I can try to do both, and let's see what happens.
When did your numbers start going up for like subscriber count and stuff like that? I mean, was it when you started getting into other people's content? Because this is kind of, before we get to Sunday Night Football, because that's kind of a catalyst moment in your life. You know, you started doing this consistently, uploaded, your numbers start going up and things like that. How did you break off and start branching? Because obviously you're a massive Packers fan. Everybody knows you for your Packers content. How did you start breaking off and doing a lot of this, you know, other NFL teams things?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, as you know, like there was a couple seasons there where the Packers like were not great, right? Like we didn't make the playoffs like 2 years in a row. And I think it was just a matter of, I mean, it started kind of like with the NFC North, because like I was obviously very familiar with those teams. So because of that, I since I knew so much about them, I could talk about them. I could do a Bears centric episode, or I could do a Viking centric episode. And the way that I kind of justified it was like, oh, well, like this affects the Packers, right? And like those did pretty decent numbers too. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, so I can still talk about them. But I think that, you know, when it came to the Packers stuff, there was an endpoint, right? Like there was time where it's like, especially if we didn't make the playoffs, like there was no more Packers news. So then it became a matter of like, okay, well, like I still want to talk about football. Like I still want to talk about this stuff. So it was kind of like getting into other teams, and I had gotten to know so many other fans and gotten to know so many other teams. So then it was a matter of like, okay, well, let me kind of like branch off a little bit and start doing some other stuff. And a lot of that was basically the reaction videos. Yeah. That kind of like was, I mean, and they still are, like those are the bread and butter of the entire channel. Like those are the things that like drive all the views, drive all like the clicks and all that great stuff. And then from there, I just spun off into madness. But yeah, it was just a matter of like, I wanted to continue to talk about football, even if the Packers weren't participating in said football.
Sure. And,
you know, so we decided to do that. But I would say like when we started getting real views, you're looking into like the 2019 season. Like, you know, that's when like it started getting real. I think we hit 25,000 subs in 2019, if I'm not mistaken. I think 2018 at the very end, like right around New Year's, we hit 10,000. And then like 2019, it started growing a little bit more. And then 2020 was insane.
Yeah. And obviously we've spent, you know, the past, you know, 25 minutes or whatever talking about numbers and all that kind of stuff like that. But I'm saying like, what about you, Tom? I mean, how do you feel about the content that you put out and things like that, and what it means to you as a fan? And then obviously what it means to the people that enjoy your content, like how, like what is, obviously you said it became an outlet for you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, doesn't it amaze you that so many people just resonate with your content and your, you know, your comedy and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think what's kind of a good thing is that like I don't consider myself anything, because like I'm a guy from New York. I don't live in Wisconsin. Like I don't, like I go out and no one knows who I am. So like right. You know what I mean? Like there's full anonymity. Like I got recognized at my teaching gig 2 days ago from a kid in study hall, because like they literally were like, what's your name? And I was like, Mr. Grassi. And they were like, Tom Grassi. And they like turned their phone around. And it was like, they were watching my YouTube channel. So like at that point I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. But I think, you know, watching the numbers go up is it's definitely a good feeling. But I mean, like, as anyone who has been around for like a long time, like, I haven't really changed the way that, you know, the audio and the video has looked better. You know, we went HD. But I think in terms of like the content, you know, the regular every day to day episodes, like, I walk in, I don't have a script. You know, I basically have like stats down to like talk about random stuff, but essentially it's just me going like, how long is this episode going to be? Who knows? Like, we're just going to talk until, you know, and then I'll edit it down.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the stuff that I really enjoy doing, like, I enjoy doing the reaction videos a lot, but this past season I did the NFC and AFC East saga, which I then turned into a 3.5-hour movie, but we did that over 16 weeks. And like, that's where I could, one, get weird, and two, like, really just like pour all my creativity in. I have like an original series coach that very few people watch, but the people who do watch it are very fanatical about it. There's like a whole lore, like, there, yeah, like, it goes deep in terms of the channel. And I think that, you know, what's really nice about it, and I think I really get this with the streams as well, is that, like, I'm a Packers fan in New York. It's always been isolated because, like, I'm one of the few Packers fans in New York, or at least the ones that I'm in contact with. And so, like, it kind of builds this sense of community. And sure, I think the thing that I'm the most proud of is literally the community that's been created here. I mean, we have people that come back, like, episode after episode. They're in every single live stream. The mods are incredible. The community is incredible. You know, and you see the same names every single time. Yeah. And, you know, like, for me, like, the engagement, you know, is absolutely insane. And that's kind of like what makes me feel good. Like, the numbers are real nice, don't get me wrong, but like, it's that kind of like, I talk and like, I know the people that are in the chat. Like, that's, yeah, something that's really cool to me. And I think that, you know, in terms of like other creators, you know, there's a sense of like, hey, I'm going to create a piece of content, I'm going to put it out, you know, consume it, and then that's it, right? It is like, it's a, you know, symbiotic relationship where it's just like, hey, like, you say stuff, I say stuff back, and even though it's like a webcam that's separating us, it's a communal thing. So like, I think by far is the most thing that I'm proud of, and like, we've created a freaking awesome community here.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are, it's incredible. I say you guys because, it, like you said, it really is a community. I mean, the Grassy Posse, you know, all the you know, people that are involved with that, like you said, the mods and the regulars and, yeah, things that show up. I mean, it really has become, you know, when I think of Tom Grassy, right, as someone who, you know, does social media, you know, a lot of, you know, all the time with Cheesehead TV and Packers and all that kind of stuff. And I think of the hashtag Grassy Posse or whatever, like, that's what I think of when I think of you, right? It's not even necessarily your content, which is fantastic. It's hilarious. It's all of the above, right? But when I think of you, like, I think of your community and your crowd, yeah, of people who are just so passionate about you and what you do and all that kind of stuff. And I just wanted to, and I appreciate you saying that about them, because that's exactly where, you know, I would expect anybody to, you know, come from when they're thinking about, you know, what you do and who you are, right? It's not just you, it's the people behind you and all the stuff that you do, man. It's really, really cool. We appreciate, you know, you at Cheesehead TV, because you always bring those Grassy Posse raids up to the chat, all that kind of stuff. You know, yeah, man, it's cool.
It's, you know, it's nuts. I mean, like, the thing that, there's like two moments that kind of like stand out recently. And yeah, I was on, it was like Cheesehead Brazil. Nagler's been on their show too.
Yes, yes.
And like, they did my intro like while I was on the show. And I was like they did the Grassy Posse Packer Nation. I was like, wow, that felt really weird. Like, that was like, that's a thing. Because again, like, you know, there is kind of like this isolation, like I said, right? Like, you know, I'll turn the camera off and then I'm like, I'm going upstairs. But there, that was the first thing that I was like, wow, this is like far reaching. And then two, you know, I made merch with my face on it for like one of the characters and we sold out in 15 minutes of the posters. Like, that was like, amazing. Another thing I was like, people are like, I bought a new house and I want to hang this up in my living room. And I'm like, why? There's still like that disbelief of just like,
yeah,
really? Like, you want to do that? Like,
that's, oh, gotta be surreal, man. That's
okay,
gotta be
so, like, surreal. You know, and maybe like when I go to Green Bay the next time that I go, like, it'll provide a different perspective. But I think that that's one of the big positives that, like, again, I've just stayed consistent the entire time. I mean, like, when we were making no money, like, I was losing money on the podcast, we were still donating to charities of guests, like, you know, what they suggested. We just raised $5,000 in a day to for another organization yesterday. You know, we named a dog Lambo for a Minnesota charity because they made fun of Aaron Rodgers breaking his collarbone. So we named the dog Lambo to go help like children who have cancer or people who are homebound. Like, you know, this is the kind of stuff that like, that's what the Grassi Posse is, right? Like that's what it stands for. And I feel like if you have a platform and you're not using it to like do some good stuff, then why? Like, you know, like there's no point, right? Like, because I could, like, you know, YouTube could shut me down tomorrow, and I'd be like, okay, you know, at least we did some good stuff.
Yeah, that's incredible. I was going to ask you about that. What is this charity that you guys are you're involved in right now? What's the current one?
Yeah, the current one. Because we're usually involved with like a number of them. So
yeah. Or how many current ones are there right now?
Yeah. This one. This one's an important one to me. So it's the United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation that like it targets a number of mitochondrial diseases that kind of obviously attack the cells, and it leads to like muscle dystrophy. You know, a lot of it occurs in children. And what I did was one of the characters that shows up in the NFC AFC East, I'm essentially raffling off a signed jersey that I wore during that. And because like the goal was $5,000, we hit $5,000 in a day. And so now like it's like 10, and I'm giving away a signed script, the only one that's available in the world of that too. So like, you know, the generosity has been insane. I mean, I remember doing the Lambo one, and that was just last year. And like I was trying to raise $3,000, and I think we raised 16, and like I just wound up chipping in another 14, which hurt. But like I was like, yeah, like, you know, let's raise some money. That was a few months of pay from YouTube, but it was, but we did that. And I was like, wow, that's like really, really cool. And considering like where we've grown from here, you know, it just feels phenomenal to kind of like support some of these causes and stuff. And the CEO reached out to me today. He was like, thank you. Like, he had no idea who I was. And he was like, why did you pick us? And I was like, don't worry about it. So
yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just accept the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'll know who I am soon enough.
Yes, 100%. It was so funny. They created a graphic that literally was like the character I created, Wildflower, and Tom Grassi. And I was just like, this is so surreal and weird. It's like, these are people who have no idea who I am, and they're just like, this man is in a flower crown and has a sword. Sure, but he's raising $5,000 for our charity, so we might as well.
Grateful and confused. I love it.
That's it.
Grateful 100%. And confused. How did you? Okay, so you were talking about consistency and all that kind of stuff. When did it really take off? You know what I mean? With Sunday Night Football, how did that even come into play? Like, did Chris Collinsworth give you a call on your cell phone?
What went on there, man? Yeah. So the first time I was on Sunday Night Football was 2018. That was December for the Vikings game. We didn't make the playoffs that year, but what wound up happening, and it was just so weird. It was the week of Thanksgiving, and I want to say it was a Tuesday or Wednesday, and I just was coming back from the city, and I actually went to a Vikings bar to interview a Vikings fan, a guy that we've had on like many times, Greg Daniels. And I was coming back, and I guess my like phone notifications weren't working, but whatever. I get home and I check my Gmail, and there is an email from someone at NBC Sports. And it was like, hi, Tom, like my producer like stumbled upon your YouTube videos. We were wondering if you were like be interested in a spot on Sunday Night Football. Let me know. And I like look at that, and I'm like, no. Like there's like, no, like this is a scam. Like there's no way on earth. Right.
Yeah.
Because again, like we weren't even at 10,000 subs. So I was like, how the hell did they even find me? So I emailed back and I was like, yeah, I would be interested. Within an hour, the producer calls me on my cell and is like, hey, so here's what we're thinking about a spot. I came across your YouTube channel. We really like it. We could send a film crew there on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and it would air on Sunday Night Football. Like it'd be like a 2-minute promo skit. Like, would you be interested? And I was like, yes, I would. Yes, I would. So the day after Thanksgiving, NBC showed up with an entire film crew. And we did a promo, and like I went through, and like the guy like didn't text me back after that. He's like, I'll send you like a copy. I'll let you know how it goes, whatever. So Friday goes by, nothing. Saturday goes by, nothing. And I'm like, oh, like they're going to cancel it. There's no way.
Yeah.
they saw like my face and they were just like, we can't use any of this. Like it throw it all in the garbage. And I want to say it was like 2 hours before it aired. They were just like, hey, he contacted me. He's like, do you want me to send it to you now or do you want to see it live? And I was like, oh no, I want to see it live. And at that point, I streamed early and I watched myself on NBC, and it was such a surreal, like out of body experience of like, holy crap. Like that's me. Like that's something that I did. I'm not on just like a YouTube channel anymore. And I will be honest, at that point I was in like my third year of teaching and I was like, that's it. Like we're done. Like famous, like we're going to the top. Right. Because I'm thinking like NBC is going to like plug me and like do all this stuff.
Right.
My name appeared for like 3 seconds, like at the bottom. And like, I think we got like 500 subscribers that night. And then I woke up the next morning and I was like, I still got to go to work. So it was an amazing experience. But I also put a lot of stock into that. I was like, here I go to the moon. And like, we went poop and like that was it. So it was awesome, but it was more for the experience than anything. I mean, they don't pay you, sure. So it was nice.
Yeah. So they called you again, right? Was that for 2019?
Yeah. So this past season, cause we were on 2020. So like it was this last year. We were on again for the Saints. Same guy called me, and it was funny because he reached out and he was just like, all right, I got like two ideas. One would involve you and Brett Favre. And I was like, what? That did not work out. I think Brett Favre like didn't return their calls. Like they were trying to get like Archie Manning, Eli Manning, and Brett. And like, I don't think any of them returned NBC's call.
You're not paying me. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, they're like, Tom, you're the backup plan. And I was like, I'm okay with being the backup plan. So right, what was funny though, is because I worked with them before, they literally were like, you can shoot your own stuff. They were just like, here's like a basic layout, you can shoot. So like, I just shot myself for like 3 hours and I edited for them and everything and just like sent it to them. They're like, okay, this is great. So like everything that you saw literally was just like from my camera. Cause wow. I have real lights now. Because like beforehand, like I went and like my old lighting system is like, I went to Home Depot and I looked up a YouTube video on how to create light stands, and I created my own out of PVC piping. Amazing. And like that's what my lights were for years. And then I like bought a set off of Amazon. So yeah, like that was another like really cool moment. They included my name a little bit longer this time.
Did you ask them too? You're like, oh, please.
Yeah, I was just like, listen, guys, you're not gonna pay me. So yeah, so like that was cool. And then obviously the other big thing was I was on an ESPN commercial as well. Mm-hmm. Like one of my old reaction videos, there's two of them that were like just like posted on there on ESPN, which was pretty cool. So I got like texts every Monday night. They're like, I just saw you on a commercial. And I was like, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was so like those were like my couple claims to fame.
All three of them, right?
All three of them.
let's talk about present day Tom Grassi. Yeah. I mean, what do you, obviously you've got your channel now, your sub skyrocketed at some point. Was that an overnight thing or was that a,
no, so like we, like that was,
you said you were at 10K at what, like the, in 2018 or 2019,
very end of like December of like, I think it was like December 31st. We hit 10K of 2018. We hit 25 in 2019. I know in 2020, the NFC championship that they lost against the 49ers, we hit 50K like right as that happened.
Amazing.
We hit 100K September 1st of 2020. A big thing that helped that was the draft, because the Jordan Love video hit 1 million views this past year, because it was just a cut from my live stream and it was 2 o'clock in the morning and I was editing so much. I was like, you know what? Let me cut out this little thing and put it up and see what happens.
Yeah.
That was a good decision. But yeah, what happened was, I want to say this past season, things just blew up and went really, really well. We did all 32 team reactions last year from the 2019 to 2020 season. So I did all 32 teams. That really got it going. The NFC AFC East saga really brought in a lot of views and like consistent viewership. You know, then there was just like things every now and then that would blow up and that went really well. And then, you know, we hit 175,000 yesterday. So like it's nuts. Like the growth has been insane. Even though it's the off season, like we're still growing.
Yeah,
we're putting out content 5 days a week. So I think that, you know, it's gotten to a point where now, you know, it's really starting to just like grow in and of itself, because like, you know, I'm looking at it at this point and I'm like, yeah, the only thing that could stop this is like either YouTube shutting it down or me stopping doing videos. And I don't think either of those are happening. So like I wouldn't doubt, you know, we'll hit 200K within the next couple months.
What's your sleep schedule like, man, with all this? You do 5 days a week. You're still doing you're still teaching, right? Today, yeah, right? Today, yeah. You are still teaching. You were at work today, right? And then you came home and you did 3 screens.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's back up a tiny bit. All right. Yeah. So, when I started doing this in 2019 full time, like doing the channel full time with my full time job, I had left my private school and I left for a public school that was a 90-minute commute, like one way. So I would wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and I would drive. Had to get there at 7. Left at 4:30, got there. Woke up at 4:30, left at 5:30, got there at 7. Math, and then I would come home and I would do videos. And after doing that, I was like, wow, I can essentially do anything. But I will say, like, the worst sleep schedule that I had this past season was really bad. But this past January, where I streamed every single playoff game, we put out content 5 days a week, sometimes multiple times per day. There was not a single time that I went to bed before 3 a.m. and I wake up at 5:30 every morning for work. Wow. So that was the entire month. So like that was brutal. Like that was rough. But I mean, like, YouTube creates this instant gratification and kind of like cyclical mindset, right? Because if you keep putting, I'm at the point where like if I keep putting out content, the numbers go up. If I stop putting out content, the numbers go down. So it's kind of like this addictive slash almost abusive relationship where it's like, I need to continuously put out stuff, because as you know, like then the algorithm hates you if you don't put out stuff and then they won't promote your stuff. So, So the sleep schedule was like rough. I mean, as of like this past month, not this week, but this past month, I finally like would get to bed before midnight, and get like 5-ish hours of sleep. So that was probably the first time. Like getting 5 to 6 hours of sleep was probably the first time in about a year that I was able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that is incredible, dude. I can't imagine. Getting 2 hours of sleep every night for 30 days plus, you know what I mean? While you're doing all that other stuff. I mean, and can you imagine if Packers would have made it to the Super Bowl, it would have been nonstop for you, man, for at least until today, right?
And now it's free agency.
Yeah, and the NFL never stops, man. That's crazy.
That's the positive and the negative, right? So, like, the positive is like I have content to talk about all the time, especially that it's branched out to other teams and stuff.
Sure.
You know, we could talk about stuff all the time. I mean, I streamed every single day this week because there was so much going on in free agency, and I couldn't really fit it into one video. So, you know, because that's one of the things too that like I'm super proud of. We have a lot of Packers fans, obviously, but like the amount of fans that showed up, like when the Vikings were doing really well, we got a ton of Vikings fans who came into the channel. When the Bears did really well with the double doink, a ton of Bears fans came into the channel and they never left. So like if I could get a Bears fan and a Vikings fan to like support this channel and actually enjoy it, I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
That's something, because you and I both have a similar mindset regarding the Packers subreddit. I am not a very liked individual over there. They like my dog over on the Packers subreddit. But me, I'm kind of a not so popular figure there. So like Packers fans, I get it, because we talk about Packers stuff. But like if a Bears fan comes over and is like, I like this guy, I'm like, okay, something's going well.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. You know, you're talking about the subreddit and all that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously I've put out some tweets and stuff like that where I just don't appreciate, you know, the way that people act over there. And, you know, there's a lot of, and I'm being generalistic right now. I'm being dramatic. I'm being, you know, this is all anecdotal based off of my personal negative experiences that I had with that subreddit, just people stealing content and putting stuff out that was bad and whatever. And I don't want to focus on the negative, but I mean, what do you think about, you know, cause there's a lot of, you know, Cheesehead TV's brand at this point has really become, you know, partly due to me and you know what I mean? Like on Twitter and stuff like that, it's really become, you know, F the haters. We're going to do what we want. We're going to push, you know, pro Packers material out there no matter what, you know? And like, yeah, there's a lot of realistic people. And I say Cheesehead TV, lightly as an entity, because there's a lot of different opinions that flow through Cheesehead TV and stuff like that. How have you kept your brand, Tom Grossi and the Grossi Posse, so positive all the time when there is a lot of negativity out there about the Packers specifically and our fan base and hashtag Entitled Town and Jordan Love and all that kind of stuff? How do you keep your fan base positive?
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is, you know, I've been called a homer and all that stuff before, but like, which I really try to look at it. Yeah, it's great. It's great. They're like, you're paid by the Packers. I'm like, I'm not paid by anybody. like one of the things I got to say, and I'll touch on your question in a second. Yeah, like, you know how like the Packers are like, you know, they're fan run and stuff like that. You know, one of the things that I am super proud of is like, I don't do sponsorships. I did a couple of months of like Squarespace because I used them for 6 years for my comedy website. And then like Pristine Auction, who literally like sent me a box of Packers stuff. And they're like, all you have to do is open it on stream. And I'm like, okay. Like, but I mean, I've turned down, Jesus, I've turned down probably anywhere between like $50,000 and $80,000 worth of sponsorships because I am not a huge fan. Because I think it and this is just me, you know, not judging on anybody else, but I think it compromises the product. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that like, this really is a fan run channel. I mean, the vast majority of the income that I make from this channel is donations, which by the way, I still have to pay taxes on, but like, again, like it's, you know, that's the vast majority of it. And like, that gives me a ton of pride. And I think that, you know, when it comes to the positivity aspect of it, you know, I'll call a spade, like when the Packers do something I don't agree with, you know, I will say I don't agree with it. But I also am very realistic of the kind of person that I am. I'm a guy in a basement. I'm a huge fan. I do as much research as humanly possible. Right. And but I always preface it like, this is my opinion. If you disagree, that's cool. Like, I'm OK with that. You could disagree with it. Right. This is where I'm coming from. Here's the evidence that I'm going to supply you of why I feel the way that I feel. Do with it what you please. But I think in terms of the people who come in and are like, hey, the Packers are going to suck this year, or because they didn't get a wide receiver, we're going to be terrible. I just basically go, then why are you watching? Right? Like, then don't watch. Because if I walk into this game and I'm like, wow, this game's going to suck, like we're going to lose, there's no point in me watching. Like, I'm going to be miserable the entire time. Like, I'll watch it just for the potential of them winning. Because like, for me, there's no other reason to. So like, I'm going to watch, I'm going to cheer for my team to win. And if they win, fantastic. I'm going to be super ecstatic. If they lose, I'm going to be upset. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of being like, there's no other way to live, right? Like if I'm a Packers fan, I am very open about being a Packers fan, you know, regardless of who's on the team or what decisions they make, I'm still gonna be a Packers fan. So you know, I think that's kind of where the optimism is because there's no, I could do a, you know, oh my God, my team is terrible and everything, burn it all down. I could do those videos, sure. But then what do I do? Okay, I'm going to leave the team. They're just, for me, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, but it just sounds like from an outside perspective, and I was talking about this a little bit before too, you know, I always, when I think of you, I associate you and your community and stuff like that. Like, I don't see it. I mean, I'm sure they're there, but I don't see the same kind of trolls. I'm sure there's trolls, there's, but I don't see the same kind of trolls that Cheesehead TV has. I mean, Cheesehead TV, it's almost like downright insane. You know what I mean?
I think it's kind of like community policing too, because once you come in, you know, it's one of those things that it truly is. And like, this isn't just like a marketing thing. Like, you are if you want to be in this, like, you're in this, right? Like, you're a part of something. Sure. And the name recognition that you get, if you show up and you comment in streams and or on videos, you will get recognized, right? Like, we have our own mini celebrities, like in the chat, right? Of people that are seen all the time. I mean, like, we have emojis that are based off of them, like, you know, and that's a real thing. Yeah. So I think that, you know, it becomes more than just like, oh, you know, there's plenty of people that hate me and bash me, and that's fine. It is what it is. Reddit. But I think what it becomes too is, it's like, hey, like, this is something I'm a part of. Like, this is something cool. It's a community thing. I essentially can watch football with my friends during streams. And like, you know, I can get this take and, you know, other people's take on whatever is going on with the team or around the NFL. So I think that the streams, if anything, has just gotten like has just built that idea of a community up even more, because then there's kind of like that back and forth that occurs. And so, yeah, I think it has gotten like super wholesome, you know, and I think that shows, because like people will come in and like be like, ah, rah, like trolling the whole nine yards. And people are like, nah, like get out like that. But like everybody does that. So yeah, it's pretty awesome what it's become.
That's the perfect description for Tom Grassi's channel. It's wholesome.
We try. It gets dark, but we
dark sometimes.
But yeah, we get some wholesome stuff in there too. Like I would say the streams are mostly wholesome.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, I just think it's just interesting. It's just funny how the dynamic between two different brands, two different styles, you know what I mean, for the same team. Yeah. You know, it's just so different. It's fun. Well, and there's different dynamics with every, you know, thing. I mean, like the old heads and the radio and, you know, and all that kind of stuff that are doing, you know, that older content and stuff like that. That's a totally different crowd as well. Absolutely. You know, and it's not even generational too. It's, you know, it's who people cross over from everything. I mean, up until maybe 2019 when I really started getting into Cheesehead TV stuff, I mean, I was still listening to Bill Michaels and stuff like that on the radio. Cause I mean, like, where did, you know, like I moved down to Phoenix from Wisconsin, and I didn't really know, there wasn't any Packers content other than, you know, like Cheesehead TV and stuff like that. But when I got bored of that, stuff I wanted to listen to during the day would be radio and stuff like that. It's just, it's an interesting dynamic between the different groups, if you will.
Yeah. I think Nagler has like a big part of that too, right? Because like he's a former beat writer, and you know, that's a big thing. And what's funny about him too, like I always appreciate him. When Nagler invited me on to Transplants the first time, like I heard of him before.
You were there, like, in the studio, right?
Yeah. So like, cause I live in New York. So like, he was just like, come down to Manhattan. And I heard of him before, but like, I didn't like know him. And it was only like after I like looked him up and I saw that like he was promoting my stuff like on the website, and I was like, like people are watching my things, like I didn't expect that. So I think that like they view him as like that beat reporter-esque kind of person, so they're expecting like those kind of takes, and you know, Nagler is not that. Like he's very against the grain, and because of that, you know, people are just like, ah, like, what is this? Like, you know, I want the hot takes from you and all that stuff. And I was like, I'm just going to drink and have a good time, buddy.
I'm just here to talk.
That's it.
Man, what's next for Tom Grassi? I mean, here you are, you're doing all this stuff. You're still catching up from January with your sleep. You know what I mean? What's next? Obviously you're in free agency right now, but I mean, you got any big projects coming up? You told us about your awesome charities that you guys are doing, but I mean, what's next for you, Tommy?
Yeah, I think it's at this point where it's kind of just like next level. You know, there's stuff that's currently in the works of upgrading how we do the streams, upgrading the visuals, and stuff like that. But let's just say that the 2021-2022 season is going to be very different from what you've seen before in terms of how much content I put out, in which there's going to be more. Because at this point, and I mean, hold on, let's take a gander here. Okay, good. There's about 200 people watching. So my job doesn't know this. I'm going to quit in June. So we're going to finally go full time with
Bob Drop.
Podcast. So
Bob there Drop you go. Right here.
There you go. You got your exclusive on there.
Exclusive. Thank you, sir.
I got you. So yeah. That is going to be such a relief. And it's not because the job's bad. It's just, I don't want to work 100+ hours a week anymore.
You can get some sleep.
Or I just want to work 90 hours a week. Like I don't want to do 100 anymore. So it's just going to kind of be like balls to the wall and really just sinking all of my time that I did on my regular job and doing it to this.
That's huge.
This will be the 7th year that we'll be going on it. And, you know, the past 2 years, really, honestly, it's really been like last year where we made like good money. But like, it was one of those concerns because I was thinking about quitting in September, back in 2019. And I didn't. I wound up getting a different job because like the podcast was not making enough. And then I was considering it again this past September in 2020, But then the pandemic happened and I was like, if the NFL gets canceled, I'm screwed, right? Because like, that's what I talk about.
That was smart. That was a smart decision because we had no idea. I remember nobody knew, you know what I mean?
Oh.
I mean, we all kind of thought maybe there would be some games, but I mean, look what happened to the MLB. I mean, they started up, then they had to stop, then they had to go back. Same thing with the NBA. You know what I mean? Then they tried the bubble, then they couldn't, then they, that is incredible. I mean, that's gotta be a relief, but at the same time, it's gotta be a little scary. I mean, I know last year it was about the COVID, but I mean, how are you feeling now?
I mean, it's still terrifying, but I think it's at this point, you know, one of the things that, I mean, I don't talk about it a ton, but like the mental health drain that it takes to do this, like, is insane. And, you know, the getting 2 hours of sleep, you know, a night for an entire month, not great. And then like, you know, for like an entire season before that, you know, getting like 4 or 5 hours, maybe max, like it takes your toll. It takes its toll on you. So, you know, it's just a matter of, listen, I could crash and burn, like this could fail abysmally and like it could just suck and, you know, everything like goes to crap. But I mean, like I turned 30 in September and it's a matter of if I'm going to do it at any point, it's got to be now because I'm not going to sit here when I'm 50 and I'm like, man, I really should have quit 20 years ago and just like gave this the like, you know, the old college try. So I think
it sounds like you've made a lot of safe decisions in your life. You know what I mean? Back with, you know, not calling SNL or, you know, or go to the school that SNL pulls from, you know what I mean? Or making sure you're still doing your day job while the NFL. And this seems like it's like a change. It's like you know, new decade, 30s, right? New you. Yeah. You're making a change. You're moving on to taking that leap of faith for what feels like the first time.
I'll tell you a quick story that kind of relates to that point. So the first time that I ever interviewed Mark Murphy, which was my second year of the pod. Yeah, sure. Mark Murphy. So first time I went to Green Bay, interviewed him for 90 minutes. Guy was incredibly generous with his time, had a great talk. It was awesome. At that point, he offered me a press pass. He was like, it was a preseason game like that night. I think it was against the Raiders. And he's like, do you want a press pass? And I traveled there with friends and I told him no, because I didn't want to abandon my friends. Like I was like, I don't want to leave them like high and dry of them, like doing, you know, whatever. well, that was a mistake because I never got that opportunity ever again to get a press pass. Still not credentialed, but it was at that point that, you know, like I was like, oh, okay. Like that was kind of a bummer. I probably should have said yes to that. But I think that, you know, one of the things that I have constantly done throughout my life, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's gotten to a point where it has been a little detrimental. I do a lot for other people. When COVID hit, I took a personal responsibility to put out as much content as humanly possible to kind of free people from all the craziness that was going on, because it was an escape. Right. In which like people could go and they could either watch, like, you know, me be an idiot on a stream, play Madden, or, you know, watch some content that took their mind off of, you know, all this crap that was going on for 5 to 15 minutes. And like, I took that on and, you know, that was a personal choice. And, you know, leaving teaching is an incredibly difficult decision because that is one of the things I'm really good at. And it's the connections with the kids and it's helping the kids and stuff like that. But to your point, there have not been a lot of really selfish decisions that have ever been made in my life. And like, I kind of want to start making some choices for me. And, you know, if I fail, at least it was my choice and, you know, I'll own it, you know, and it is what it is. So I think that, you know, what you're going to see in this year is a lot of me kind of just taking the ball and running with it and seeing how far I can possibly take it and kind of just doing more things for myself while growing this amazing thing that, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have built and see what happens. I think that there's a lot of changes coming and, you know, some of them will be difficult, but I think overall, you know, we'll see how we come out on the other side.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, man. And I think there's not going to be a single person who's not going to support you in that. And, you know, you could use the word selfish in the defined term, but I don't think it's, you know, selfish in the negative way. I mean, it's sometimes, you know, what's that corny saying that you see on every poster in every school where it's like a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what the ship was built for. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like what I feel like what's going on here. You know what I mean? Now you're coming into you've come to a head where you're like, okay, I built an audience. Mm-hmm. I've stayed up, you know, I've gotten zero sleep. I've done all this kind of stuff. I've worked my ass off, right? To put out something that was never something I dreamed of, right? Where does it go from here? You can just keep tooling along like you were doing and all that kind of stuff. But I think the only way to take a next step is to just invest in it fully, you know? Exactly. And I just, you know, that's for, I think, congratulations is in order more than, you know what I mean, fear or anything like that, because that is just, that's phenomenal, man. I mean, how did you, I mean, you had been thinking about it for a while, even before COVID and stuff like that. But I mean, how did you really come to that decision? You know, when was it finalized? I mean, when did you really like, okay, COVID's kind of over now. Like, I think I can do this.
So in September of 2019, so I had been at my old job, which was a private Catholic school, for 4 years. And I kind of did everything that I could possibly do at that school. And I was offered the public school job that I told you about that was 90 minutes away. It was a $10,000 pay cut to go and work there and a 90-minute commute, which was double my current commute. And I was like, you know what? It's a public school. I get into the retirement system. I get a pension. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know,
are they unionized at that school? Is that was the big reason or?
Yeah, because so like at the private school, like there was no tenure, like there was no job protection. Like you had to go and actually fight for your salary like every single year if you wanted to raise. You know, and listen, I loved the kids there were amazing. You know, like I really became a great teacher at that school. But it just got to a point where I was just like, okay, well, you know, I want something that's gonna be more permanent. I want something that is going to like, you know, help my career, etc.
Of course.
So I went to the job and they lied about what the job was. I don't know if you want to hear like the full story, but like it's,
Hey man, we got time.
Okay. Beautiful. All right. So basically what happened was, is I went on an interview, and usually if you go on a teacher interview, like there are a few rounds, right? Like you meet with like the chair, then maybe the principal, the superintendent, blah, 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 blah. So this was one round and they literally just like sat in a circle and asked me like what books I was reading. I crap you not. And that should have been the first red flag. But basically they said that you would be teaching at an alternative school. And I was like, okay. You know, so it was like kids who were having a tough time, you know, whether they got into like, you know, trouble or they had like social anxiety and couldn't be in like a regular setting, whatever, whatever. And I was like, okay, but it's like a teaching job, right? Like it's teaching social studies. And they're like, yes. And I was like, okay, cool. They call me the next day. They offer me the job. And I was like, okay, so I thought about it over the weekend. It was, like I said, it was a pay cut and it was a 90-minute commute, but I was like, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's see what happens. I get there. The day I get there, I find out, so I teach social studies, and the way that they group the classes, Global 9 and Global 10 were together. And they were, every kid was at a different point because they had a no failure policy. Meaning that if you were a kid who showed up for like one semester of school and then didn't show up again until the next year, you started at the second semester. So basically, I had a group of kids in one class who were doing two different subjects, Global 9 and Global 10, and they were all at different points. One was 10% done, one was zero, one was 50, one was 90% done. So I found this out the first day and I go, well, how do you teach this, right? Because you can't do like a class setting. And they go, oh, you just give out packets. And I was like come again, and they're like, no, you just give out packets to them and like you just check off that they do the work.
So it's not teaching.
I said I'm like, so you don't teach? And they're like, no, there's not a lot of like instruction.
But like, I'm a teacher.
Yeah, and like me on street, like that's, I'm very animated in the classroom, like no, like there's, I'm not a lazy teacher, so like no, like that doesn't happen. So what wound up happening was I was like, okay, this could have been a major mistake. So they show me where the alternative school is. It is on the second floor of a building that's 5 minutes away from the high school. On the first floor is a preschool and a tax office. The tax office has a wide open door all day. It was in a pretty terrible area. We had crackheads walking through the hallways because there was no security there and we had no admin. This was my first week there. And I meet the kids finally. And I was like, hey, like, do you have notebooks? None of them could afford notebooks. I bought them all notebooks. The teachers who were there were like, they wouldn't use the notebooks even if you got them. And I was like, well, screw you. I'm going to buy them notebooks. Buy them all notebooks. I'm teaching there for like a week and a half. And I realized like there is literally no way to teach this without doing packets. Like no way to do it because like every kid's at a different point. It's a nightmare. So at that point I go, okay, I can't. Like I physically cannot because I refuse to be the kind of teacher that hands out packets and does that kind of lazy BS teaching. I could like show up to work every day and phone it in and like, you know, get my paycheck and have a nice day, but that's just not who I am.
Right.
So I go and I write a letter of resignation and I go and I hand it to the principal secretary because the principal wasn't in. And I remember it was the weekend of my birthday. And I hand it to her and she looks at me and she goes, I don't think he's going to accept this. And I looked at her and I'm like, I kind of don't care. Like, you know, like I said, yeah, that's like, I don't care. Like I'm gone. Like goodbye. So it was at that point at 8 o'clock at night after I handed it in. And I was so relieved that I was leaving. Like if it was such a weight off my shoulders. Like there were significant issues there. And I get a call from the union president who says, hey, you have to give them 30 days notice. If you don't, they'll take away your teaching certification.
Oh my God.
It's New York State like education law. So I went from being like ecstatic that like so much relief, so much stress, like off my shoulders to going pure panic mode.
Yeah.
So I write the principal an email on Friday night and I'm like, hey, professional courtesy. Like, you know, you told me what this job was. It wasn't accurate. Like in the most professional way possible. Right. Can sure. you extend some professional courtesy? Like I just need to go. Doesn't get back to me all weekend. Show up at his office at like 5:30 in the morning, wait till he gets in at 7:00. And he walks in and he goes, so I hear you want to resign. And I was like, yeah. He goes, all right, well, you need to give us 30 days. We'll find somebody before then. And, you know, then we'll let you go. And I was like, okay. 3 weeks go by. They get this one person in. He calls me the morning of and is like, hey, this person's going to come in. He's going to talk to you. He's going to start tomorrow. I was like, perfect. He comes in. He asks me about the job. I'm honest with him about what the job is, right?
Of course.
He quits before noon. So I'm there for another I'm leaving. And then the principal goes like, oh no, he quit. And I was like, cool. So it was at that point when I decided I was going to quit that job. I was like, you know what? It was 2019. The podcast was not making like any money.
Yeah.
And I was like, screw it. I'm going to invest in myself and I'm going to do it. Right. I'll sub, you know, I'll make $125 a day. I don't care. I'll try to get through. So I finally get free like halfway through October. I go and I sub. The problem with subbing is that it's still an all day thing. So I couldn't do any videos or anything. And I was only making $125 a day, like with a master's degree and all that great
stuff.
So like what wound up happening was like, it just wasn't paying the bills. So I wound up taking another teaching job that was full time. That was a leave replacement, up until the draft. So I took that job, worked full time, et cetera, et cetera. And then what happened, COVID hit. And so that goes into 2020. And then like, that was like the point where I needed to decide. Cause at that point, you know, I wasn't making like a ton of money by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm like, you know what, if I really invest all my time in this, maybe I can make it work. But then COVID happened and I was like, well, if there's no football season, I'm screwed. So it was a matter of, I took a new job, brand new job, commute's great. I have to say like, and the school is fine, but you know, this year has been remote. You know, I have a couple kids in every now and then. Like, I still have to go in. I have a couple kids in every now and then. But it kind of, like, really, unfortunately, like, kind of sucks the joy out of teaching. Because the best part, if you ask any teacher, the best part about your day is the kids. You know, no right. matter how crappy things are, you know, whatever. It's always, like, that's the only reason why you go to work. It's literally the kids. It definitely is not the salary. So I basically use that motivation to say, okay, well, if I'm miserable at work or like not content, I'm just going to work harder. And that's what I've done for the past 2 years. And it was at that point that I literally was like, all right, let's see how football season is. Football season was really good. Let me see how February is, because February is the worst month out of the year. There's nothing really going on. It's a dead period. There's no free agency. Let's see how it goes. February was pretty damn good. So I said, you know what? Yeah, we're good. So it was within this last month that I really kind of like dwelled on it and was like, you know what? Yeah, let's take a shot and see what happens.
Wow. In February, you were doing reaction videos and stuff. Was that most of your bread and butter during that month?
Yeah.
Like season reaction videos to whatever the teams were doing. I think I saw some of that.
Yeah. So there was reaction videos, but we also started Madden Mondays. So like we're streaming basically Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So and now wild. Thursdays too, because I started a new show. So like we are doing four streams a week. And again, like as I said, the biggest source of income is honestly donations. So you know, for that, even if it's a couple $100, it's a couple $100. So you know, that's kind of one of those things that the more streaming I do, you know, it helps in those regards. And there's been plenty of streams where I've made, you know, nothing, which is fine because like I just enjoy the streaming anyway. But yeah, we were doing a mix of reactions and then it was the mix of streams. But we've gotten to the point where like I have so much content to put out that it sustains an entire year. If I was able to do that last year, like we're good. So, you know, it's just a matter of like, let's just keep it going. And you know, we'll see what happens. But like I said, you know, if it fails, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm totally at peace with that. You know, well, at least it was my decision at this point. I'm not kind of like not doing it, because I think that'd be the worst thing of sitting, you know, here years from now, regretting what I didn't do.
Yeah. What's your plan? I mean, now that you're going to have some free time, are you going to travel? Are you going to go in Green Bay? I mean,
free time. What is this free time? Yeah, I mean, I need to go back to Wisconsin real bad. Real bad. I miss Wisconsin so
much. When's the last time you went?
I think, might have been 2018. Like, it's been a while. Because I was going to go last summer, COVID. And I wanted to go see a game at Lambeau this year, COVID. Yeah, I really wanted to go to the championship game, because I went to a wild card game at Lambeau, a divisional game at Lambeau. I wanted to go see a championship game. COVID. So stupid ass COVID. So I definitely want to make a trip back there over the summer. And you know, it's funny because you mentioned time off. I still don't see myself not doing five episodes a week. Like, I fun fact, a week from Monday, I'm getting all four of my wisdom teeth pulled. So like I will not be able to do content because like my face is gonna be a balloon.
Are you freaking out?
No. That just means that the weekend prior, I'm going to record five episodes, and I'm literally just going to put out stuff before that. Like,
dude, how do you do it, man?
That's what it is. I mean, like, anytime I've gone on vacation, I just record everything ahead of time, because like, especially now it's draft time, so it's easy. So I just like do draft prospect videos. So I'm like, boom, 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 boom. You know, it takes up all my day, and then I put those out. But one of the things that, you know, I've been talking with the mods with and stuff like that, we do want to do a Lambo takeover, like a Grassy Posse Lambo takeover. Okay, like awesome. That needs to happen when COVID's not a thing anymore. It's going to be one of those things that, what am I going to do with my free time? There's going to be daily streams now, like during the football season, where it's going to be like, hey, here's all the news. Because like, believe it or not, with five, you know, episodes a week, there is still plenty of content I didn't talk about that I wanted to do and like didn't talk about. And now I'm going to be able to do that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. Like I'm very excited for what the future holds this year, in terms of the channel, just because I think that we got 100,000 subs like for the entire year. Like we gained 100,000 subs last year. So we've gained over like 35,000 already this year. So, incredible. You know, I think it's just kind of like keeping your foot on the gas and just keep on growing.
Yeah. No such thing as free time, just different allocation of time. Yeah. That's
one
cool,
of,
man.
One of the like 5 point vids, one of the guys I do videos with, he was just like, do you have any hobbies? And I was like, no. There's no hobbies. There's no free time. Like, it's
what's
just
a hobby?
Yeah. What, like more videos that I can do like that. Like, that's what I wanted. And that's the thing too. Like, I genuinely enjoy it too.
Of course.
I don't make content that I don't want to make anymore. And like,
I mean, listen, you gotta enjoy it now.
At this point, right? Like, why not? Like, there's like, that's there. Listen, you know, if anyone watched that saga, if anyone's watched Coach, I put out some weird crap. Like there's some weird stuff, and I don't care if anyone watches it. Like, that's the point. I'm like, if you want to watch reaction videos, people will watch that. But like, I'm going to put out stuff that I want to make that like there's, it serves as an outlet for a lot of things. You know, it has a lot of me in it and a lot of like emotions and things like that and coping mechanisms. And, you know, I just enjoy it and enjoy doing it. So, you know, I'm going to kind of just keep on making what I want to make.
I think 2021 is going to be really good for football fans and sports fans. I mean, just people who enjoy streams and stuff like that in general. I think there's going to be a lot of people learned in 2020 how to stream. I think a lot of people learned how to, you know, put out content like that. You know what I mean? I mean, I know Cheesehead TV is doing a ton of growing and, you know, we've got ideas for TikTok shows exclusively on TikTok and stuff like that. Are you on TikTok, by the way? You got a TikTok, Tom Grassi?
I do. And then I went off of it for like 6 months and then I popped back on again, but like posted one thing.
That's where the kids are, man. you gotta get out now.
Trust me, I know, but that's the thing too. I look at it as like, this is another thing I need to produce content for. Today's schedule was I woke up at 5:30. I worked until 2 o'clock, ran to the post office to get fan mail, got home at 3, researched the vid, put the vid out until like 5 o'clock. Then I did the stream at 7, and then I did this. So like that's what a normal day looks like. So like TikTok in that, like,
where do I fit it? Yeah,
it's tough. You know, I'll hire you if you want to, like, whatever Cheesehead TV is paying you. Like, I got
there. You go. We got it. Yeah, exactly.
Like this whole episode, the only reason I agreed to come on was just to poach you. So like,
bingo, we got it.
I saw the memes, and I'm like, listen, this guy. There you go. That, so.
TikTok's wild, man. TikTok, they have some weird numbers. We, you know, I think the Cheesehead TV one, I'm still growing it, obviously, but I think we only have less than 2,000 followers on their total, right?
I think that's what I got too.
I'll have one video that's like a couple hundred views, one video that's got 10 views, and then I'll have two videos. I literally have one video of the office sound of Michael Scott going parkour, right? Over Robert Tonyan tumbling into the end zone from 20
10 million to 20, views.
Right. Literally 1.1 million views. What is it? What's up with these numbers?
Their analytics are so weird. Like,
I'm not convinced they're fake. You know, they're not fake, man. Because I mean, look at it. I mean, obviously, it's a Chinese app, right? Obviously, they have things here, but I mean, I'm not convinced some of those numbers are. I mean, that's just too, it's too weird to be true. It's too weird to be true. Yeah.
No, I 100%. Like, I didn't even try to figure it out. I was like, I'm going to put some random stuff on there. And then I was like, I'm done putting random stuff on here. Like, I literally was at the point where I was like, I'm done.
If you scroll through the For You page, right, it's like trying to figure out what you like. Like, yeah. And so it's all based on how long you stay on a video or if you open the comments on a video, right? There's like different, it's like so meta. There's different layers of like engaged you are to that thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you're really engaged with a puppy video and you watch the whole thing through or maybe let it play twice or maybe go to the comments on it, like they're going to just start showing you nothing but puppy videos.
All the puppies. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Yeah. So we got to, you and I, maybe we'll take over the TikTok space for Packers content. There's not
that
enough.
Sounds great. That sounds great. I will do nothing, but that sounds great. Like I'm going to do this, but,
give me the talent, I'll be the poster.
But that's the thing. Like, I've heard, like, so many people have said, like, you should do TikTok stuff just because it'll help you grow the channel. And you know, listen, there's a lot of things that I could have done to grow this channel, whether it was revenue wise or whether it was sub wise. And I was like, nah, I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Now that you're the big 3-0, this is it. You're taking that leap of faith. You're going full time, not just full time, but full time.
That's it.
And now you're doing the socials, man. Dude, Tom, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, man. We appreciate you. You know, it was cool getting to know who you are, and I'm sure a lot of people have questions. Maybe we'll have you on again or something like that to dive into some of the questions. Shout out to Grassi Posse in the chat. I saw you guys in there at one point.
We got some donos in the chat.
Who you got in there? Did you see anybody that you recognize in there?
Of course. I see a ton of people that I recognize. You got Jim B. You got Luke Birch. You got Eric Waite. You got Brett Goody. You got
some
in there before. I saw Ray in there. There's so many.
It's Shout out.
The Grassi Posse, we just like the Green Packers fans, we travel well.
I love it, man. Dude, again, yeah, thank you so much, man. This is obviously just a new venture. I'm taking a dive into the world around the team and seeing what's up, seeing who's doing what. What's your schedule like tomorrow? What do you got going on?
Tomorrow, I'm actually free. Like, tomorrow, like, going to see a friend, but like, no, tomorrow is, that's what the one nice thing is, when the football season ends, my weekends are free. Cause my weekends from September to February are booked because I stream. And then I lesson plan too. So, so like it's nice. I actually have like a full day off tomorrow. It's going to, unless there's news that breaks, which in that case, then I'm going to be up till midnight, like producing.
Very well could be again.
Yeah. It's like, cause that's the thing too. Like I got known as the guy who like put out stuff the quickest, and now I won't stop doing that.
You won't get rid of that title. Yeah,
I won't. There's some other, cause there's so many people that do Packers content. There's so many. So I'm just like, you're all competition. Like even if they have like three subs and I'm like, this bastard got it out 2 minutes before I did.
That's like, hilarious.
I'm going to destroy you.
That was the thing. That was the whole purpose of this show, man. There's already so much great content out there. You know, it's like, how do I come in here? I just want to know what these people are thinking. I mean, there's so much up there. Why is there so much up there? What is it about this team that makes people act like this? You know? And so, we'll dive into that, you know, over the next couple of weeks and into training camp. We've got some cool, we'll do some Brett Favre stories from that wild, wild west of a couple summers. We'll talk to some of the beat writers there. And then leading up to them, we're just getting to know everybody from around the sphere. We started with obviously Aaron and Corey and then moved on to you. We got Maggie and Perry coming up from Packs What She Said. We got Matt Ramage coming up at some point. We're just getting to know everyone. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in tonight. Obviously check out Tom everywhere. You know where to find him. We'll add the links and stuff in the description and all that kind of fun stuff. Packers After Dark, we'll post the podcast, and then also we'll link some of the charity stuff that you're doing. I can't wait to do that. That'll be
awesome. Thank you. We'll
spread the word and let everybody know. Anything else you'd like to say to the fine people out there today, brother?
Folks, thank you so much for watching. I'm Tom Grassi. And as always.
Hey, first of all, real quickly before we go, I got a shout out. You were doing the airplane quotes. I love that. That's my all-time favorite movie.
Yes.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue, buddy.
Dude, Airplane and Spaceballs are quoted so frequently in that in streams. It's truly incredible. Like I quote them on a daily basis. So yes.
I literally popped into your stream right before this one just to see what was going on. And you guys were talking about Airplane and I couldn't get enough of it. I love it. Yep, I love that show.
It's love that movie. I mean, so good. It's so good.
Great. Good night, everybody. Get some sleep. Unlike Tom, we'll see you next time. Packers After Dark. Bye.